Hello and welcome to Weekly Open. I'm Brian here with Cred. Don is back with his girlfriend. He's the only one in crypto that's able to say that right now. Profitable and engaged of sorts. Let us say thank you to FTX, our partners. Go to weeklyopen.com/FTX where you can trade today. FTX has tons of new stuff all the time. You can trade stocks these days. You can, of course, get the free trading on the mobile app that you've always known and loved. Check out FTX, weeklyopen.com/FTX. And thanks to them for being our partners. Let's get to the show. I don't have a screen shared. Yeah, I do. Look at that. Look at that. Ready to go. Cred, how you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. Not a terribly surprising development in the market. But
you mean the development that you said would happen and I agreed and then I didn't change any of my behavior based on?
You were the guy who, you know, whom we mocked essentially last go.
Well, saying, I said I would be.
You don't sell and then it goes down. You think, well, what's the point? Then it goes down more, etc. At least you're consistent.
Yeah, you know? I did say that that was going to be my response.
Yeah, I just thought maybe you'd change your mind or something.
Well, if I was going to change it, I would have done it like that Monday and then I just didn't bother. So just that's been going enough. Down with the market.
I think your chart just about summarizes it though, right? The one you've got on the screen right now, it's that level, that 2K level of resistance. There's that overhead moving average, indices hit resistance, dollar rallied pretty much. I don't know, like Don had his victory lap of sorts on the show. And I just feel like last week's analysis from our end aged quite nicely. So we can certainly review a few things. I was short-term trading this a few times.
Oh, nice.
During the last week. You know, it'd be easier if I held on to those trades. But I think, I don't know, some of the, it was two things. One of it was boredom. Like, I'm just stuck at home kind of waiting for my, you know, I'm kind of house-sitting with my parents, if you will, and I'm just stuck here outside my regular spot. And also, it was the heat wave. So I just thought, why don't I, you know, dust off the old boxing gloves and see if I've still got it in the short-term order books. And it's been kind to me, so it's kind of good to see that I still know how to trade.
I presume since you were seeing the resistance, you were favoring the bearish side of things throughout.
Yeah, it was like 3 for 3 on ETH shorts in like intraday trading stuff, but nothing too special, just like very kind of bread and butter support resistance things.
So I guess because I also started on ETH and you said that tells the story, that also kind of tells the story of BTC as well, right? Like because Bitcoin's retracement looks much, much worse, honestly. It looks ready for continuation, whereas like you can definitely make the case on ETH that like, oh, you know, that's going to go backfill some of those green candles, but might not make a new low, might be fine. Bitcoin looks really, really weak, even though like, that chart's a little saucy there. Even though Bitcoin's made up some room against Ethereum, it just had no upside. So any downside makes it look atrocious. But yeah, this has been a pretty much an Ethereum trading party because nothing significant has happened on Bitcoin other than the fact that now it looks like, it really looks like kind of a classic bear flag or something like that, you know, like really, really limited upside on the after the low. And then, I mean, if you told me this was going down to 14, 15K, I'd totally believe you.
I mean, it's like a full on bearish engulfing in the majors, right?
Yeah.
Equities put in a face melting rally. As soon as that happens, Bed Bath and Beyond goes up 5,000,000%. Doge chain becomes a thing and we start trading dog coins all over again, kind of mini BSC season, you know? And then as soon as,
Dude, you know, I almost bought, you know, I've, the some of the chat.
You've talked about this on the show or somewhere, right? It was like, sense.
Yeah, there was always tons of short interest in Bed Bath and Beyond. And, from a business perspective, it's not a great business, but historically they had a lot of cash to balance their debt. They don't actually, that's been not improving of late. So like the business is in more dire straits than it once was, but you know, they've been in this very squeezable position for a long time. And it also, if on the long term, is it like a really fun chart? Like I traded these swings here quite a bit. And some of this one, but not all of it. And I actually, after it was all the way back down, like sub $5, like legitimately, like so close to the lows, I was like, because it's a weekly chart. I was like, you know, if I wanted upside, this like might be really good. And I almost put on my whole position again, which in my, I call it kind of my degenerate legacy account. I
oxymoron much.
Yeah. Like if in that one, I would be willing to do it in size relative to the account. And I just didn't pull the trigger, but I was this close, and man, well, that
makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. Been hilarious.
It's difficult to find the case for some sort of macro mega bottom compelling while we still have meme stocks just like ripping faces and that same old same froth markers being in the market, you know.
Do you know Kevin Muir? He's the macro tourist. He made a case this weekend. One of my favorite legacy podcasts is called The Market Huddle. So Kevin is macro guy, and then Patrick Serezna is a TA guy. Patrick said the same thing that you just said. And then I liked what Kevin's response was, which was, this is actually, in his mind, the fact that the market kind of caught onto it and it just didn't last very long, it seemed like kind of an echo meme stock thing to him.
Right.
Which is indicative that, you know, it's healing a bit more and maybe it's not so bad. And I actually like that argument, because all in all, this was maybe 3 days of outlandishness after a few days of kind of preparation. And now it's like 4 days in a row of just getting obliterated, all the top shareholders piecing out. Like, nobody's going to stick around for this, you know, and the people that were trying to spur it on, it's not going well for them. And they're like, they're still like freshly scarred from their last meme stock trip. So they're like, oh no, I did it again after saying I wouldn't. So it gives me a little bit of hope, actually. Then you go look at Party City. So this hasn't moved
what
yet.
Is this?
Yeah. This is another retail store here in the States. Like, there's a Party City probably next to half the Bed Bath & Beyond.
That's a real, correlation trade there, huh?
Yeah, so pretty much the, their financial position is actually much worse than Bed Bath & Beyond. Right.
That's bullish. If we use 2021, 2022 market logic, you know, the worse things are, the better they are.
Similar though, they are in all these big box stores. They have a purpose. Like, where Bed Bath & Beyond, people go back to college or whatever, and they go buy their trash cans and their irons and their dishes and stuff. Party City, basically the only point is to get balloons for your kids' birthdays.
Oh,
like, you know, face paint or other stuff like this. So they have these giant warehouse stores full of them. Nevertheless, I just noticed nobody's been talking about it yet, but this thing was at $1.20 or so. Now it's sitting about $2.20. It similarly has like just tremendous amounts of short interest, because this store is going bankrupt. Like, there's very little doubt about it. And so I could imagine that this week people are like, oh no, not again, roll your eyes. And, you know, you see $5, $6, $7, $10, something like that. And these
I'm
things.
I'm going to buy some calls for you then, Ledger. You know, you these, missed out on your legacy pump with
I'm intrigued.
You got a revenge trade, man. You know how this
I know. I hadn't done anything yet, but I feel like there's definitely a possibility here, and you wouldn't hear about it until, you know, Wednesday or something like that if people pull this off, but it would not surprise me. All of these companies, though, surely they've kind of been like, hey, we're bankrupt. We have lots of short interest. If people, you know, if Wall Street Bets gets a hold of us, what will we do? Like, they should all have paperwork ready to go to just issue stock.
Yes.
Like, we need to pay down half our debt. So boom, here's the paperwork ready to go. That's what I would be doing if I was them. Anyway, so if something like that pops up, if it tries to do it again, like, how fast does it respond? And I would take Kevin Muir's point seriously personally to see, like, if they're being more efficient at getting, like, not handling those pops, then that would be indicative that it's more likely over. And we've seen that in crypto with, like, all the narratives that pop, and then it's like, oh, well, you know, this layer one went, then this layer one, then this layer one, then this layer one.
Then it gets to near, and it's
like, oh, look at that. It popped 10% and then went down 90.
Well, like the Dogecoin effect, right, where it used to, like, you know, 50-100% on news and Elon tweets and whatever, and gradually it gets arbed and it becomes a non-thing. I agree with the argument that the reduction in that effect is probably a positive development, but the fact that it's still there sucks, because it just makes me think that volatility purgatory is still ahead and people still have money to throw at this stuff and they're still using the 2020, 2021 playbook. And none of those things are particularly compelling, you know. And we had the crypto equivalent of that, as I mentioned. While equities are melting up, Bitcoin does nothing, ETH hits resistance, and everyone starts buying dog coins and dog chain and Doge chain, all this other stuff, you know. We went there pretty damn quickly. I thought maybe we'd see like some sort of DeFi rotation or whatever else, but there is no rotation, right? It's like ETH, Lido, merge trades, and then we go from merge trades to straight up gambling on dog coins. You know, there's no it's very PvP. And then I think the price action is also indicative of the type of action we spoke about, where everyone's in the same trade, all the open interest is in the same trade. You know, as soon as people start taking profit, it's a kind of a race for the exit to some extent. And there's nowhere to rotate to because no one gives a shit about anything else. There's no other game in town, you know? So you're either in the ETH or ETH proxy trade, or you're in no trade or buying the top, you know?
Yeah. So just one, I guess, final note on legacy markets. They did melt up. ETH kind of melted up with them. I think this chart and ETH are similar, although the S&P is a bit stronger. Other indices, maybe not. I would say this one doesn't look like it just has to die. But if we're not responding as well on the upside as these markets are, then that makes you a little nervous, right, for carrying any risk whatsoever. Like, why not take that risk in things that are safer, like the S&P 500, the world's 500 most profitable companies, you know, like,
yes.
Seems like the same reward with lower risk profile seems like a better place to be than like the long tail of altcoins or something.
Yeah, but we're all degens, right? It's like no one's going to make the risk adjusted bet. It's like we know Bitcoin, we know ETH, we know shitcoins, and we're going to find a way to express our views using those instruments. And I think you raise a very good and somewhat scary point that kind of, to some extent, the worst case scenario materialized, where crypto didn't track, at least anything other than ETH, or like Bitcoin specifically, didn't track any of the S&P upside. And then as soon as tech sneezes, crypto pukes out and it is trading kind of mid-range or back towards the range low, right? So you get none of the upside continuation on most of the names, or at least the big names, or not all of the big names. And then as soon as there's anything that looks remotely like a red candle in the making on tech, we get weekly engulfing candles from that. And, you know, some of these altcoins down 30, 40, 50%. And I think, like, again, the worst case inference from that is a world where tech continues to pull back. And even if it ends up being range bound or high or low, how you kind of squiggled last week, there's a world in which just that tech pullback is enough to break the lows in crypto, or at least in Bitcoin, et cetera. Because, like, how, you know, what other inference can you come to? Like, if we get none of the upside, there's a tiny bit of red and we start puking towards our range lows. If there's a more meaningful pullback in tech, then there's a world in which the legacy bottom is in, or a legacy range is in, but crypto keeps puking. That's a very serious consideration, considering the recent evidence of how poorly we respond to green candles and how terribly we respond to red candles, you know?
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. Hey, last week, just from a timeline perspective, because I know you've been talking about this a lot, did we know yet that they've really settled in on September 15th as a hypothetical merge date?
Yeah, I think we tentatively were aware of that, yeah.
Okay. I guess there's just more talk about it in the last week because of something to do with the way all that works. So that September 15th is the merge date. It's also, I believe, the tax extension deadline for the US, which is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, great.
So a dump the news event seems likely, or dump the event, rather. What's the phrase?
Buy the news. Buy the news,
yeah.
Buy the rumor, sell the news.
Buy the rumor, sell the news, yeah.
Yeah, or just sell the rumor, sell the news, we're in a bear market.
Yeah.
I actually think this is one of those market junctures for me where like TA-specific levels on BTC and ETH are like very, very, very clear. Do you want me to dive into it really quickly so we get some context?
Yeah, please.
I'll screen share real quick. Let me make sure I get the right tab. That looks correct.
I always wonder what's on your other tabs for you to be so determined.
That's not for public consumption. I think on the Bitcoin front, again, in terms of candle structure, we just have a weekly engulfing right now, right? Like the most classical weekly engulfing where it spikes above previous week's high and then closes below previous week's low. And I'm pretty sure that took us below the 200-week moving average as well, or at least
it did.
Into it. So that's bad, right? This is a bad weekly close, like a full-on engulfing, whatever. I think the daily range on this thing is really clear. specifically looking at like this consolidation, first of all, like the short-term trend has been wiped out, right? No matter how you want to draw it, like this sequence of higher lows has been completely violated by this engulfing candle. Like that's not good. That's a break in trend. And it's a break in a trend that didn't go anywhere in the first place. Like all of this price action that we spoke about last week of this kind of spike city type of thing, it's terrible, right? It's like infinite supply on BTC. It can't even like fill in the 3AC gap and give some sort of bearish retest. It's nothing, right? Now, in terms of where what we're left with, I think you have a really clear range based on where we've been trading, with the highest close or range high being at this 22K level, the range low being, you know, sub 20K, that 18K. And you can see right now we're at this midpoint at around 20.6, 20.7. That's where the market is right now. The fact that we closed back within the range is a really bad sign, right? You know, if Don were here, generally speaking, if you're accepted back within the range, your target is the other side of the range. And you can see we spent a lot of time trading at the midpoint. We spent a lot of time at the range high. In terms of recency, that range low is the one that remains unperturbed. And if you look at this midpoint in particular, like on an intraday time frame, there's just a really kind of suspicious quadruple bottom there with this low, this double bottom, etc. I really think there's a decent chance during the course of this week we at least poke below to find out who's waiting there, right? I think if you want intra-week longs for some sort of reversion of this move, I think if you get a puke,
sweeping up,
right, a failed breakdown into that range midpoint that sweeps all of these lows, I think that would be the first actionable kind of short-term trading setup within the bigger picture that this daily trend is broken, we're back within the daily range. And I think overall, structurally, until such a time as this range high gets reclaimed, and that's just like resistance right now, that's very ugly to me. I think you need to be aware that there's a decent chance we trade towards the range low, just from what the implication of trading back within the consolidation is. So three levels for BTC USD, I think they're really good. I think short-term bias, if there's any kind of wick city, spiky boy.
Can you talk about what the actual numbers are? We may have listener only.
The listener only, the Bitcoin daily range that I'm referring to has its upper boundary at 22,600. Its lower boundary is at 18.7 and the midpoint is at 20.8. And there's a nice kind of intraday triple bottom built at that 20.7, 20.8. So very short-term trading-wise, I think if you're going to be looking for bounces, a spike through those levels and some sort of reclaim or failed breakdown, or just a lot of aggression below those lows that doesn't get rewarded, that's probably a decent setup. But bigger picture, now that we've seemingly been accepted back within that range, I think that aforementioned range high at 22.6 is resistance, and you have to be at least aware in the back of your mind that when the market falls back within a range, usually it kind of moves towards the other extremity, which is all the way kind of sub 20K, as bad as that sounds. I think that's really clear for BTC USD. ETH is also very interesting, and I think very much offers similar type of unambiguous technicals. I think there are two ranges that matter for ETH, and again, this is on the daily time frame. The one is where it's coming from. So this consolidation between, you know, the range low was 1.7. Oops, that's the wrong level. Well, it's not the wrong level, it's the wrong tool. The range low was 1.7. The range high is at basically 2K. And the midpoint is at 1.8K. And you can see how clean that was on a daily basis, right? Like I traded on this day. I didn't hold into here. But that's kind of this underside retest of resistance that kept my lights on, if you will. So that's one really good range that's worth trading. And that's currently resistance. Anything from sort of 1.7 to, you know, low, like 1700s in our resistance, right? We fell out of that range. We broke through midpoint resistance. I think that's, if we rally, that's what you've got to look towards. And the next one is kind of the Bitcoin 18K-ish equivalent. For me, is the one between 1.2K and basically 1,000. That's very clean to me as well. This in-between area, I'm not a fan of it, right? Mm-hmm. So this is really good, the one at 1.7 to 2K. This is really good between basically, you know, 1K and 1.2K. Yeah, this middle area, I didn't find as compelling. You and I kind of discussed maybe some sort of flash crash scenario where you kind of just move very quickly.
We kind of dragged it out.
We dragged it out, and I think at this point, like, this move is so impulsive through this structure, and especially with Bitcoin no longer hanging on by a thread, but specifically being back within its range, you've got to treat 1.7 as resistance. If Don were here, and he's not dead, he's just on holiday, right? I would speculate that he would have something like this structure as a kind of intermediate level between 1,500s as a short-term bounce level, but this isn't the type of thing where anything aside from, you know, providing the bearish retest, I don't think this is a terribly compelling structure. So best areas to do business, I think, are made up of the, you know, 1K to 1.2K range, which is lower slash support, and 1.7 to 2k range, which is currently resistance, with the nearest levels being 1.7 resistance on ETH. I think the technicals are really good this time around. I don't know what you think about any of that.
No, I like all of that. The levels make sense, both technically and emotionally. So the things that could actually impact these moves, the biggest thing, I guess, this week is the Jackson Hole symposium that the Fed is at, and where we expect comments from, and the entire market, ours and others, is going to respond to that. So once again, we're just beholden to like literally every single comment that Jay Powell might possibly make, which is
right.
Or not make. Yeah. It's just not the type of thing that's going to like indicate, oh yeah, this is what a healthy market is made of. I'll come back to your chart.
Oh man, is that the dollar?
Yeah, this is the dollar. So the Dixie is like right back up to the top of the range. We had talked about this maybe being some kind of classical bull flag, especially as it was showing that strength.
And Euro was looking failed breakout pukey as well. Like last week's failed breakout on Euro ended up being very powerful. It just went down only from that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard for me to look at this new highs on a weekly engulfing to the upside. With a positive response now, like it looks very good. Like if this was crypto, I would not be selling, you know?
No.
And yeah, if you look at other pairs, the euro is just struggling at parity. So a washout from parity would totally be, unsurprising.
And that's an upcoming, what's probably going to be a fuel crisis in the winter. It's already rearing its head to a large extent, but it's only going to get exacerbated in the winter. And the ECB is asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. And also those like natural gas prices are already extraordinary for you guys. And everything that I listen to makes it seem like it's just going to start to merge kind of worldwide. Where
merge. Nice. Yeah. the merge no one asked for, right, Ledger?
Yeah, where the European crisis essentially drives global prices. And even though it's quite hard to, like, y'all are isolated, everybody else has relatively reasonable amounts of supply, but it's just going to put a crunch on the entire market and be a headwind for sure.
That's such a bad chart, just that thing you've got on your screen, because it's like a multi-year consolidation basically. Right, multi-year consolidation seemingly breaking down to the downside, and then with all these seasonal and fundamental pressures as well, it's not looking good, Brev, you know. It's like I don't know, this is not a fan. And you know, you got endemic euro weakness as well as dollar strength at the same time.
It's nasty. Good time to travel to Europe, I guess.
We'll welcome you with open arms.
Yeah. Other than the fact that you'll be like, you know, burning animal dung to eat yourself. Yeah.
Seriously, or each other if it gets any worse.
Yeah, so not to make light of the challenges in Europe, but it doesn't look great. And then oil as well, like still just kind of maintaining... it's just not an oil story, I guess, at the moment. The energy stuff is more natural gas related at the moment. But to me, this just looks like a lot of overweight oil longs from 120-ish that are just getting rinsed right now in the wrong energy. But still, like $85, $90 oil makes for expensive gas and, you know, helps exacerbate all these issues. I am really bullish on oil long term still. What I hate, though, is like all these trades are more interesting to me than crypto.
Especially Bitcoin. I mean, that's been just so painful over the last few months, where it had a weaker bull market than it ordinarily did. Narratively, the whole institutional holder base, everyone is wrecked, everyone is underwater. Bitcoin also suffered from the fact that even within like the OTC world and market structure in general, it's still the preferred crypto native form of collateral. Like you could see that by looking at 3AC loans. It's mostly just like USDC and Bitcoin being the primary denominator of those loans. So all this kind of contagion, fallout, extra supply also adversely affects Bitcoin. Narratively, you've got ETH moving to proof of stake. And if that works, then you can make a very easy argument, although not a terribly compelling one because they're different things. But at face value, especially to normies, it's like, look, ETH is like, you know, the second biggest crypto, and it moved away from the wasteful, you know, ocean boiling proof of work and it works completely fine, while Bitcoin is both underperforming kind of, you know, financially or returns wise, and it's also boiling the oceans while it's at it. That there's a lot of kind of really tough headwinds in that regard, and especially price action most recently is like everything rallied, including meme stocks, including tech, including ETH, Lido, merge proxy plays, while Bitcoin did nothing. And then as soon as tech sneezed, it just engulfed back into the range. It's a rough time.
You know, maybe we should have taken it as a sign when SBF put stocks on FTX. Stop trading crypto.
Oh, man. Yeah, for sure. There's definitely some challenges there. And then all the altcoins we spoke about as well, you know, the rough conclusion we came to is that everything kind of hit resistance slash was at its range high. And it was.
And it looks worse
down
than
a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like Solana got stuck at Don's level, which he sold into. A lot of these, the DeFi 1.0 coins, you know, even Link from last week that you were talking about, top tick that and it's just been down only.
Sold that perfectly. Point. And like the key there is if that looks bearish, it probably just means everything else is bearish too. You know, like whatever coin you're in. Yeah. I'm pleased with my sales there. I can't hardly find $9 on the chart. but unfortunately, like I went and bought that Uniswap level that I talked about, though I was like, it looks like it'll probably go down below $8 if it has any failure at all. But now it's down below $7. Like this thing,
yeah,
it's just a sign of like how willing people are to sell. Like there's just not an inherent new buyer on a lot of this stuff.
And that's why there's no rotation either. You know, the entire market piles into one trade and the entire market unwinds from one trade. And because of correlations, everything suffers. People asking about like, oh, do you think Don got invalidated or whatever? I mean, apart from selling his Solana at that kind of 45, whatever range high, I was speaking to him. I said, you know, this is the kind of week where if you were at your desk, you'd be taking profit more aggressively, because I know, and from both just anecdotally and from speaking with him, he absolutely hates when you get like super strong indices or tech rallying and Bitcoin doesn't play along, especially if those rallies end up hitting resistance as they did in tech. You know, if he were around, I think he'd be taking profit a bit more aggressively, but I think he's, you know, apart from the soul, he's still holding on to stuff. Yeah, he's focused on other things, much more important things.
So that is the Solana one is indicative though of, he was like, hey, you know, if there's any risk on appetite in this market, Solana could get to like
70, 80.
Yeah, 70, plus, 70 yeah. 80 at a minimum. At a minimum. That was that was kind of my, like, I think it could get there in risk on. Don's like, oh, I think go to 120 if it's actually risk on. And I was like, wow, that's high.
Well, his name is Don Alt. He has to live up to it once every 3 years or whatever, right?
Yeah. But I think he was right just from the liquidity profile. But the problem is you see that on the way down as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, he's smart enough to play these with the risk reward in a way, and he's still in profit. You know, he bought literally the pico bottom of this stuff.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't take any off, but I think
his NFT is a wreck.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that, and it's just a sign of like just not much risk in the market. But if you go look at NFTs and talk about where are people taking risk, they're taking risk in things that are the most crypto native. So like your Bored Apes are getting wrecked. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this.
Is that the Bend
cascade.
DAO lens?
Yeah.
Do you have like a idiot summary you can give?
Yeah. So the Bend DAO was basically Aave for NFTs, or is basically Aave for NFTs. And about 15,000 Ethereum has just gotten waxed because there was no bid on these markets, which was supposed to enable them to get liquidated more easily. So if there's no bid on the market, you can't liquidate the NFT that's being borrowed against.
It's a great design.
Yeah, the rule set that they had also was kind of goofy in terms of relative to floor and global floor versus open seas, because the global floor is always a little lower. Just a variety of things where there's a margin cascade potential for any of the assets with significant value in them, where the ETH just gets drained and the lenders are stuck with valueless JPEGs instead.
Oh, man.
Kind of messy there. And they're Punk 95, whatever with the pink hair, had said that the Bend DAO was left with like 12.5 ETH or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of ETH was drained.
I've got more ETH than a DAO.
Yeah.
Flex on it,
oh,
right?
Oh my gosh. I've got more ETH than a DAO. Good, good. So what I find interesting though is what is moving. Like Pudgy Penguins is about as crypto native as it gets in terms of you know, community people. So like we're the only ones left, so Pudgy Penguins are doing well.
Like what more proof of PvP do you need, right?
I know. That's exactly my point. Mm. And versus, you know, apes are just these so many randos that got incredibly rich and now they're getting wrecked because they don't remember, they don't know how this goes. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, my Bored Ape ecosystem stuff, all the stuff I got was worth like half a mil and now it's not worth 100 or, you know, 200, whatever. Like they're seeing how down bad you can get, but they're not realizing quite yet that it can still go worse. Like Bored Ape sub 10 ETH is something that's on the radar in my opinion. Certainly for the base collection. And it doesn't have to be, but I think it could. I don't see any reason why it can't. And right now, yeah, NFTs are just people trading to each other for the most part.
Yes. That's the whole market, right?
Yeah. And that becomes really problematic as you look at what's out there. And, you know, Crypto Dick Butts is another one that's been doing well on a relative basis. So, again, just something that crypto Twitter, basically. Yeah, crypto Twitter likes. And yeah, going to be a rough time out there.
And then Jackson Hole's on Friday, right?
Yeah, Jackson Hole's this week. I don't know what day.
Okay. Yeah, more headlines to trade, you know. I wonder what the tone is going to be.
At Jackson Hole?
Yeah.
I wish I could know that. We'd be wealthy if we were able to interpret Jay Powell's thoughts. As the market does open here, the S&P is going from down to more down, at least in the early minutes of trading. But if you look for upside, there's some gaps up there that are worth filling. I think the market's going to wait until they get significant comments out of Jackson Hole to do much. So honestly, I think your ranges that you talked about, it wouldn't surprise me if we go tap the underside of those and just kind of make it easy mode for the short-term traders to sure. short or exit.
I think that's my only focus, really, especially with equities hitting high time frame resistance and headlines creeping back into the economic calendar. I really think, you know, short-term rotate, you know, trading in BTC and ETH and S&P, probably your best bet. As far as altcoin trends or cyclical rotations, I think they've looked shit and continue to look completely boring and unimpressive to me. I've also got the schedule up here. So it looks like there's a GDP print on Thursday, and then Friday there's PCE and Jackson Hole, all within kind of an hour, 2 hours of each other. So that'll be
And we'll get leaks out of Jackson Hole in the meantime. So yeah, big week. Love these big weeks. I don't have a lot else to say. Like this is not an attractive trading environment. Like maybe if you're looking for a little upside in majors, you could, or a breakout to the lows, or I think you need to find out what are the levels that matter to you, whether as a seller or a buyer, depending on whether you're holding or looking for entries. And then knowing what to stay away from. And I think the last week shows us like some of the stuff that where the risk side of it is quite high, and the liquidity crunch will probably continue. And in my mind, at least, I've got Bitcoin up right now, but even Bitcoin's not really what I would want to trade.
ETH.
Yeah. I think same. ETH is basically the only thing in the market I'm interested to participate with, for better or worse.
Agreed. That's where my eye is at as well, especially now that a lot of those high time frame resistance levels that you and I spoke about last week have been hit on indices, sort of those monthly levels or high time frame moving averages. Like a lot of those have been tapped. And again, we even sort of forewarned last week how quickly the narrative can shift publicly from everyone is sidelined, merge isn't priced in, and huge rally, etc. You put in one weekly engulfing candle and a few headlines at the end of the next week, people start getting brown pants straight away. You know, it's very much been the type of environment where trend traders have been punished over and over and over again, and they still seemingly haven't learned their lessons. If any of this price action is an indicator.
Yeah, I mean, this is so indicative to me of what the market felt like in 2019, if you recall.
I was there. I certainly recall.
I mean, I feel like Don especially, that was his rise, right? Like late 2018, yeah. 2019, where he was just so willing always to fade the crap out of everyone at all times, like in both directions.
He was just like the best swing trader, the best public swing trader we had, I think, yeah. Like by a long shot when it came to that.
And I think what I failed to do then, I've done it a little better this round, is just to realize like that the upside is limited if you're taking essentially a long only approach, which I typically do. But you know, cash is a short.
yeah.
Somebody else also said, I can't remember who it was, like I think Loma retweeted Bagsy or something like that. Sometimes mm-hmm. I think they might be the same person, in the sense that I think find them both to be excellent traders. But they're just talking about like the importance of when the market is not obvious that it's up only, like your basis as cash and dollars is going to prevent you from losing a lot of money, because you will get 3, 4, 5, 6 like fat pitches in the year where you swing at those. If you lose, you lose. Like you're always going to lose every now and then, but
yes,
you're not just going to get eaten by the market and the winds of the market. You're not going to get worn down against that when the market's not giving you any real clear signals. So a bias in cash with an eye for those fat pitches seems like the approach for the rest of the year to me.
You know, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, yeah, you've been doing it for
too long, too damn long, Ledger.
Well, since the top, like that's it's exactly the point.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
Not been like wearing this market with stress, even though people are, oh, Cred didn't buy the bottom. It's like, look, we're pretty freaking close to the bottom, and he sure sold the top. So, you know, good luck.
It's been nice
to
kind of swing at some short term trades as well. Yeah. I think nothing really gives you a sense of the liquidity conditions of a market aside from actually trying to trade it, you know, and making observations and feeling what it's like on the bid side and ask side and what's, you know, the participation at those high time frame levels when you're in a position. It's just really telling to get a sense, even if it's, you know, you cut down your size to 1, 5, 10% of what it ordinarily is, just like get in the order books, you know, get in the books, give it, you know, slug at some levels and kind of get a sense for how the flows are. It's very, very informative. So I might have to start doing that slightly more often than I'd like to admit, kind of just like, you know, getting into the trenches and seeing what it's like on the battlefield. There are some other interesting charts to, if you want to kind of occupy some time, which I think are worth paying attention to. I think BNB, this is a monthly chart, so Don would be proud. At the moment, it's testing like a really big underside level. Oh, I've got it already. You know, this big monthly underside here, and it spiked previous month's high and it's back below it now. And on the weekly, you can kind of see what that looks like. It's sort of overshot through and it looks to be closing back below or a resistance at the moment. What makes this chart very scary is that if we just erase all the levels for a moment, like apart from this range low, like here, which is the absolute extremity, right? Like I've got it labeled as well at around 200. That's where it bounced. If it gets back down there, first of all, if that breaks, then it looks really bad. I've got like a daily level, which isn't even visible on higher time frames at 120 to 130. But if CZ is going to plunge protect this thing, you really run out of levels much below 200, right? So in terms of long setup, you know, if we're having an eye to buy range lows in crypto, even if for a bounce, I think any type of failed breakdown in BNB at around this sort of weekly 200 mark is going to be really good, because there's nothing else. And you know, I love trading levels when there's nothing else.
Those engulfing candles in 2021 are unbelievable.
I mean, this is
on both sides, like the two red ones.
I know. What this is, yeah, it's really
and then a
shocking
complete retrace.
I know, it's mad. Also, another thing that came up on my radar is just how low Solana is from as far as previous cycles levels go. Because look at this monthly, for example. This monthly looks shit. Like you've got this monthly cluster here. Look how perfectly it played. It bounced off the bottom, hit the top, and it's sort of almost
what's the range?
Back down
we talked about that exact range, $25 to $50. I had my yellow squiggles on it.
Yes,
recall.
Yes. You know, this is sort of where it's trading at right now, and this is the range high that's been stuffing the market for the time being, and where Don took his profit as well. But if you measure the decline in Solana from sort of high to low, I think at the moment we're probably like over 90% or something like that, like 80, you know, 86%, and at the lows it was 90%. So this is in terms of just like cycle correction declines, it's getting pretty scary, you know.
I think Solana could be in that same range for another like 8 months or a year.
So between like 20 and 40, basically, yeah, with maybe some pokes to the upside and to the downside type of yeah thing. That's uh-huh another long I'd be interested in. Like, you know how BNB just has this weekly extreme and then there's just like nothing to the left? I think Solana looks very much the same, where that weekly extreme is around sort of low 20s. And if I get some sort of, you know, take out Don's stop, I'm joking, he doesn't have a stop on this idea, but you know what I mean, just like hit the range lows and sort of fail to break down some aggression that's not rewarded. I think if crypto pukes, there are going to be a lot of fresh levels where you can play bounces, even if it's not as sexy as saying, oh, from here on it's up only trend, etc. As a technical trader, there are definitely some weekly structures below us that are worth throwing some change at, you know.
I think a cycle bottom that would be really interesting in terms of a clean sign would be like Solana sub $10 on a big wick, you know, like so some day where there's terrible, terrible news and Solana goes sub $10. I'd be really, really looking for potential cycle bottoms.
I mean, I should hope so, thing, right? If it's at 34 yeah now, yeah, that would certainly do it. Yeah, a lot of these charts, I don't know, like none of these altcoins, at least on my radar, started trending or set compelling new high time frame trends. Like, especially if you look at the weekly time frame for a lot of these things, most of the market now sort of rallied into the first level of resistance and then weekly engulfed, right? Like, I think no matter what watch list you look at, that seems to be the, I mean, look at Curve, for example, right? That's the mm-hmm prevailing trend of the market. Everything ripped, tech ripped, ETH and ETH proxy trades ripped, and then we got weekly engulfed without any type of bearish, hawkish headlines or anything like that. You know, it's clearly still quite precarious out here.
Yeah. Yeah, these charts are nasty.
They are. And, you know, this last week we were saying how a lot of these just kind of looked like this, you know, where they basically hit their relative range high the last time we did the show, and it's pretty much been down only since then, you know. For it's the same for Comp and the same for Link, etc. It's kind of big move. Everything reverts, sort of. Everything except Bitcoin, apparently. And then as soon as it gets there, even though, I mean, look, this is the weekly chart for tech at the moment. That isn't that scary yet, right? Mm-hmm. If anything, it's like sort of, you could make a reasonable case that it's some sort support of pullback into support, right? So tech retesting support makes up, without any headlines or hawkishness or anything extra, makes us puke to basically mid-range, if not range lows. That's, you know, it's not an amazing sign. What if this does give a deeper pullback towards a higher low, like 3,900 or something? Tech getting here, which would still be a constructive pattern.
You're on the S&P for what it's worth, but the same principle applies.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, you know, structurally very similar kind of, you know, these ledger higher low support levels, even just getting there could put crypto in a pretty, pretty bad spot. Because we're you know, clearly underreacting to the upside and overreacting to the downside. And that's without anything particularly scary going on in legacy world at the moment. It just looks like some de-risking ahead of headlines and with meme stock kind of profit taking, you know?
Yeah. I want to be really, really bullish ETH going into the merge and out of the merge. And
I mean, it doubled. It more than doubled, you know?
Yeah.
Like in the worst kind of macro conditions ever and all the bearish stuff that's going on, it managed to double. And then you had like Lido and a bunch of other coins do much better than that. That's pretty damn good, you know? And maybe there's more left. But as we discussed, like in terms of ETH levels, like first of all, as far as the weekly close goes, chef's kiss to this, right? Yeah. But even if it does keep pushing, as you and I discussed, once it starts getting into this like low to mid 2K area, if it does recover, I mean, that would be a crazy looking chart to kind of wipe out this engulfing and push higher. That'd be quite mad. But even if ETH continues pushing into the merge, I still think mid to low 2000s, you've got to manage your chops there, you know, as far as levels go. But I'm still focused, to be completely honest with you, I'm like laser focused on those daily ranges we spoke about with ETH, the ones that are on the screen right now. 1.7 to 1.9 as to the range above us, 1.2 to 900 as to the range below us. And right where we are right here is some sort of bounce-ish zone at 15 to 1600, but I don't love it. I'd rather trade the bounce or the move from this level rather than the level itself. That's where the market is right now. And I think these weekly engulfings are worth taking seriously just in general. You know,
you did say if it clears that engulfing, it'd be mad. Is it over 1950? Do you become a bull like on ETH for at least a tradable setup?
Very reluctantly, I think yes. I think the earliest I could become a kind of mid to short-term trading bull is if it gets reaccepted back within the range that it broke down from. So the 1700 range.
But you might also be out by 1950, right?
Like yes. I might trade it from A to B, from 17 to 19. And if there's continuation there, I can get on board. That might be worth punting. But we need to look at the available evidence, right? The available evidence hit the range high and then shat through the range low and weakly engulfed everything. Like that's kind of what's in front of us right now. So that's, you know, that needs some fixing, to be clear.
Yeah, it's no longer on your chart anymore, but there's that 2500 level, 2540, something like that, if you scoot back a little further. And I think that's the real to me. Like if you end up turbo pumping into the merge or something, I think that's possible, but you, like you said, you have to tackle the thing in front of you first,
which is a weakly engulfing, right?
Yeah, without tech, that's a big thing to tackle.
Scary. Yeah, it is big week ahead. And we've got headlines and other nonsense to deal with this week. So I'm sure there'll be short-term trading opportunities, but in terms of like weekly bias and even daily bias at the moment, it's a weekly engulfing and a daily range breakdown, while Bitcoin is weekly engulfing and daily back into the range. Like none of those are constructive short-term biases. And if you're going to be playing bounces again, I think it's short-term trading more than anything.
Well, good luck to everybody. We're just trading against each other, as we mentioned. We appreciate you being here. Thanks so much for watching Weekly Open. You can go to weeklyopen.com to catch episodes and check out our partners over at FTX by going to weeklyopen.com/FTX. Actually, go to that link, check it out, trade there today. You can trade stocks. You can trade both directions on FTX, depending on your service. Dollar cost average, do all the things you want to do at FTX. weeklyopen.com/FTX. Thanks to you for being here. We'll catch you next week.